If you would have given me these two options, the Raiders winning and the 49ers losing, or the Earth was going to tilt off its axis, I think I would have gone with the latter and the decimation of everything on our planet, because I think that was more likely heading into this previous weekend than my team winning and your team losing. But here we are. How are we feeling, Sam?
Man, you sound pretty chipper for someone that lost in fantasy. Got absolutely smoked, too.
Don't care.
It was like, don't care. It wasn't even close.
You're down in the slums with the rest of us now. Welcome to the world of the losers.
Yeah, just sitting atop the NFC, down in the slums.
Yep, down in the slums. How's it feel?
No, I feel good about it, man. I was definitely affected by it on Saturday. Jenna was looking at me kind of scared throughout the day, just waiting for me to crack, because we watched that entire game happen, and then the missed field goal happened, and I screamed a couple expletives during that result. But I think I got through it. I was really fearing – the biggest thing for me was fearing the aftermath of the onslaught that was going to be happening from the talking heads of the Cowherds, the Pat McAfees, the Bill Simmons, Lewis Riddick, Ryan Clark, any ESPN personality, any Fox personality, Stephen A. Smith, Shannon Sharpe. What were they going to say? Because the Niners looked absolutely dreadful that entire game, but still had a chance to win.
Mm-hmm. Now, I saw a question earlier, earlier in the week, so on Monday, and the question was, what was more surprising, the 49ers losing or the Eagles losing?
Mm-hmm.
And initially, I said the 49ers. Yeah. However, the more that I look back on it, I don't know, they lose McCaffrey. They lose Debo. The weather's really bad there. I think the Jets and the Browns are comparable from the standpoint of they both have outstanding defenses, and their offense, I guess for both of them, leaves a lot to be desired. But the Jets were also – the thing that they were dealing with as well is they had lost three defensive starters that week as well. My initial answer was the 49ers. I'm not sure where I stand right now. I'm asking you for a little bit of persuasion one way or another. What do you think?
I don't know if it's a level of surprise for me. I think both teams looked bad. Let's get that out of the way. Both teams looked bad. They both didn't play like the two best teams of the NFL, which they presumably were in most people's eyes. I would say that the Eagles looked a little worse, in my opinion, just because the Niners legitimately lined up for a 41-yard field goal to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
That is a unbelievable chance to win. Granted, tough field like conditions, and you have a rookie kicker for the first time doing this thing. And all that being said, they had a chance to win that game. The Eagles, after going up 14-3 in that game, just turned on the sleep button. I mean, they just – and it was really bizarre, that final play when it was 4th-and-9 and Jalen Hurts just threw it up to double coverage to Devontae Smith. I mean, that was a bizarre play when it seemingly looked like – it was the same – it reminded me of the Oregon game, which I'm glad you didn't bring that up either. So Sam had a really tough week. When Bo Nix, all they need on that last 4th-down call to pretty much ice the game, and they're up by 4, all he needed was a yard. Mm-hmm. And instead they're throwing it 20 yards down the field. And it's like, well, we got to – like that's to me is play design at that point. Like, you're not understanding what really you need in that situation. Same thing with the Chargers and Herbert. Mm-hmm. When they were – 4th-down in the red zone on Monday night, and they're 4th-and-1, and he is throwing it in the end zone. It's like, to me, that's more on coordinators and coaching of like, hey, our biggest priority right now is getting the first down, and then we can go for it later. So, I mean, that was a lot of big jumble up to say. I think the Eagles looked a little bit worse to me than the Niners. I'm not really too worried about that result. Honestly, I'm a little relieved because now we get the whole Brock Purdy's undefeated, the Niners are undefeated out of the way, and they can start taking teams by surprise and start like really owning up on teams.
Well, I think the theme of the weekend was ugly. The games this week were not exhilarating. Like, if we just go through real quick, if you guys will follow me on this little exercise, kicking off the week, you had the Broncos and Chiefs game. Ugh. That was not entertaining or exciting.
Yep.
The Ravens-Titans game was also not very entertaining or exciting. Panthers-Dolphins, well, it became exciting afterward because the Dolphins kicked into high gear like they normally do, but it was non-competitive. Mm-hmm. Saints-Texans, that was ugly. Commanders-Falcons, the ending was kind of exciting. I was watching that game, but it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't a particularly pretty game per se. It became exciting at the end, but that's like because I think they were both equally playing poorly. Colts-Jags, that wasn't exciting. It was a good performance by the Jaguars.
For sure.
Seahawks-Bengals, that was a competitive game.
Both teams played poorly. I mean,
yeah. Vikings-Bears, Justin Fields got knocked out of that game, and Justin Jefferson wasn't playing. That wasn't exciting. 49ers-Browns, it came down to the end, but that was an ugly game. Patriots-Raiders, that was ugly. Lions didn't play that great against the Buccaneers. Cardinals-Rams, that wasn't competitive. Eagles-Jets was kind of exciting, but both teams didn't play very well. Giants and Bills, that was an awful primetime game.
Ugh.
And the Cowboys and Chargers was a weird game too.
It's like someone whispered in Buffalo's locker room, hey, you guys need to keep this game tight at all costs. You guys need to make the Giants look good. And I think for, I'd say 90% of that game, the Giants outplayed the Bills.
Well, to give you credence to that, the Giants had more yards, more passing yards, and more rushing yards.
Yeah,
they were
it.
Better on third down.
Hey, Tyrod Taylor, that was a great underlying storyline to that game was Tyrod Taylor revenge against Buffalo. Because he was one of those guys before Josh Allen took him to the playoffs. I think Tyrod Taylor was the last QB to take him there.
Yeah, he was 24 for 36, 200 yards. No touchdowns, but no picks. And, I mean, he did enough to keep them in the game. Didn't do enough to win. Obviously, there was a little bit of controversy in that game as well at the very end. And with the whole running the ball at the end of the first half when you had 14 seconds left.
Yeah.
That was a weird decision.
And just to finish that Monday night Chargers-Dallas, it was exciting at the end, but it's like both teams collectively took a break. They both score on their first drives of the night, so it's 7-7, and then there's nothing the rest of the game.
Yeah, that was it. I was at work during that game. We had the game on, so we were watching it. And that was a really tough game for me to get invested into because I just despise both teams. Like, very much despise both teams. And, you know, one of my coworkers was obviously working with me. And
no way.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Anyway, so he's there with me. He's watching the game, and he knows I'm a Raider fan, but he hates the Cowboys probably just as much as I do. And he was asking me, you know, who I was rooting for. And I said, I think I dislike actually the Cowboys more, but I can't root for the Chargers, because any time that they win, obviously that's going to negatively impact the Raiders. Now, do I think that the Raiders are going to do anything this year of significance? No.
Yes.
But.
Well, they're prime.
But at the end of the day, I would still rather, you know, the Chargers, I think, lose at the end of the day. But I just couldn't find myself rooting for Dallas. I think it's hard for me to absolutely hate. Like, I don't like the Chargers organization because obviously they're in the same division as the Raiders, but I like Justin Herbert. And I feel bad for him. I wish he was somewhere else. Somebody made the point today, I had heard Like, can you imagine if Justin Herbert had been drafted by Miami and was in Miami right now, in Miami with Mike McDaniel? Not that Tua is bad or anything. Tua's no. a great fit. But can you imagine if Herbert was in Miami right now?
I mean, if you just look at the simple fact, I think Herbert's more talented.
I think he is too.
And has been better, but he's also been more durable than Tua. Yes. Like, there wouldn't be these question marks. He's playing through a fractured finger
right now. He's a machine.
And he's just bigger in size. Like, there's a lot of things that if you just look away from talent, that would have worked out. But, man, this weekend was just – I think I heard a stat that was – there was only five teams in the NFL this weekend. Obviously, there was two teams on a bye. But only five teams that scored 21 or more in the NFL.
Well, you want to hear something even sadder?
Okay.
This was the first week that the Raiders scored more than 20 points.
I know, on the safety. On the safety. That offense, still need something.
So there's that.
So was Kevin O'Connell injured?
Kevin O'Connell is still the coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
No. Kevin O'Connell, dude, the QB for the Raiders. Was he injured? No. Is that why he didn't get in?
No. Aiden's there. He was suited up.
That's my nice of Aiden to support Kevin when Kevin was playing.
Yeah, my dad had made the point in previous weeks that his whole thought process based on the read that he was getting from, you know, just being a fan of the team and you know, reading news articles and stuff, is that if Jimmy ever went down, then Hoyer was going to be the person that they were going to bring in game. But if you're going to give a week of preparation, then they're going to give Aiden the start. So assume like Brian Hoyer's always going to be the number two, like regardless of who's starting, that's going to be his role. So next week, cause I'm assuming Jimmy's going to be out. We'll be seeing Aiden out there.
Okay.
So, which I guess makes sense. I mean, you throw in the vet, especially if you're up in a game, which the Raiders were at that point. And Brian Hoyer came in and he was 6-for-10 for 102 yards, has had the longest pass play of the season for the Raiders. He was honestly playing better than Jimmy when he came in.
Jimmy G is dragging this team to a 500 record. And you know what? They should be
dragging.
They should be above 500 after next week.
Max Crosby is dragging the team to 500. And I had a bunch of stats for you this week to show you that Max Crosby is on the same level as Nick Bosa, and if not at a more impressive level. But I'll put that later. I'll put that as a we'll get to that eventually, because I want to talk about the Raiders game a little bit more in detail. However, before we get to that,
we don't really need to.
No, we definitely do. I have some overreactions for you from CBS. I wanted to run these by you, see what we think. So here's your, and the first one, part of the reason why I wanted to do this was because the first one has to do with the 49ers, which I knew we were going to lead the show off with. So here is the overreaction from CBS. The 49ers are overusing Christian McCaffrey. Overreaction or reality? They say reality. What do you say?
I think there's a little truth to that. I think we all kind of thought that he wouldn't be getting the same sort of volume he was getting in Carolina. And I think he's probably had the most touches this year out of any running back.
Let me give you some numbers for that real quick. Because they say that his 110 carries are second in the NFL and his 134 touches lead the league. That's 22.3 touches a game through six games. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of hits for a guy that is running headfirst into contact. But to me, like, he hasn't – until these last couple games, he hadn't really had any nagging injuries. Like, there wasn't any time where you were like, oh, man, that was a huge hit that McCaffrey just took. It was a lot of easy holes that he was running through and different things like that. I think it's just – the percentage goes up for him that he's going to get it. I don't know. It's just there's reports that he might be suiting up on Monday night with the extended week. I was encouraged that he went in for a play, even with the oblique injury, and got like a 5-yard gain. and that whole thing, whenever someone is allowed to go back into the game, I think it's pretty reassuring. So I don't think they necessarily overused him, because what they were getting out of him was MVP production. So right. for what it was for the team, I think it was exactly what they needed.
Well, and you and I had talked about this a while ago, and I don't know if you meant to say this. I'm going to assume it was intentional, because you had said that McCaffrey just runs headfirst into everything. And when you – he kind of does in reality. Like, he – for as small as he is, he acts like he's Derrick Henry. Like, he mm-hmm. I mean, he'll pop some runs, you know, outside, and he'll shift – and he'll just be shifty because he's a small guy and he's got the ability to do so. But I feel like a lot of his highlights that I see from him, he's like trying to run over people. And he's so small. He's like Julian Edelman size almost. And I make the comparison to Julian Edelman because if you watch Julian play, he was the same way. I mean, he was a tiny dude. But every time he got the ball, he was trying to run people over. And they sort of play similarly in that sense. So I don't know if you meant to phrase it that way, but he really does try to bully people, which I don't know. Maybe he's got to adjust that just a little bit.
I would just give me the benefit of the doubt and assume that I meant it.
All right. Yeah. Great job, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I try.
Yeah. I shouldn't have even brought it up.
You know what? We would be remiss in saying the Niners did lose to PJ Walker.
Yes, they did.
I think that's kind of a huge element to that game, and if we were to just brush over the fact, like when I heard that Deshaun Watson wasn't playing, I was, oh yeah, Niners have this easy
by 50.
Like it would have been tough-ish to beat the Browns at full strength, but now that they have a backup in, and it's going to be, I mean, it's easy at that point.
Well, their defense might be the best defense in the league. They certainly, in terms of yardage, I believe have allowed the fewest yards throughout the season. It was either the fewest yards or the fewest points. I'm getting one of those confused. I heard that today, and I don't know. I mean, if Deshaun Watson is playing mistake-free football, they're going to be really tough to beat. And maybe he doesn't even have to play mistake-free football, because PJ Walker didn't throw a touchdown. He threw two interceptions, mm-hmm. and they still won. So, I don't know.
Yeah, he made a couple really good plays, and they were able – Cleveland was able to run all over San Francisco. So that was kind of Kareem Hunt had a really good game, and Jerome Ford had a good game, and it seemed like San Francisco was still thinking about that Dallas victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a bad sign when there's all these stories coming out about a team and it's about the opponent that they just played.
Right.
All this George Kittle's sure. Debo's talking to Micah Parsons. First off, Micah Parsons is talking to everyone.
For
a team that, it came out, I think he's talking more BS about the Niners and the Eagles after Dallas just squeaked by the Chargers. I mean, stop talking, dude. Your team is not good.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I know. So here's another overreaction for you. I want to keep this in the NFC. This is from CBS. The Lions are the best team in the NFC. Overreaction or reality? They say overreaction. Now, here's something interesting. I want to just give you the Lions' remaining schedule, and you mm-hmm. tell me whether or not this is a win or a loss for them. Okay. Sure. All right. On the road, I'm only going to make note of whether or not they're on the road at home if they're playing a like monster opponent. So they're on the road in Baltimore next week. Win or loss?
I know. We got to go through this quickly. That's a tough one to start with.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to say they lose that one.
All right. Raiders.
They win.
Chargers.
They win probably.
Yep. Bears.
They win.
Packers.
They win.
Saints. Sorry.
They're playing the Lions?
Yeah.
They win. They should win.
Bears.
They should win.
Broncos.
They should win.
Vikings.
They definitely should win that one.
On the road in Dallas.
I mean, it could be a loss.
And then they play the Vikings again. So what I'm looking at...
There's like three tough games, maybe.
I know. So you're talking about the Cowboys game being tough and the Ravens game being tough. And the only other one on that list, realistically, I think, that you might be concerned about is
Green Bay.
Green Bay, or maybe on the road against the Saints, because that's a good defense. But
the Saints can't score over 20 points.
No, they can't either.
Is that Green Bay game? Is that in Detroit? Because didn't they beat?
That's in Detroit.
Yeah, they beat Green Bay earlier this year on Thursday night.
They may not be the best team in the NFC, but that doesn't mean they won't end up with the best record. They do not have a tough schedule going forward.
As it, I mean, their division just hasn't panned out. I mean, so far, especially with if Fields is out,
yeah,
for an extended period of time, if Kirk Cousins is traded away, I mean, that division can look completely different.
I mean, in comparison to your Niners, the Niners still have the Bengals, the Jaguars, the Buccaneers, for what it's worth, are not terrible. The Seahawks, the Eagles, and the Seahawks again. They play the Ravens, and they have another game against the Rams, who always seem to have their number.
I mean, that's just not factually a correct statement.
I know. I just kind of wanted to see what you said.
I mean, the Niners have won, I think, like 9 straight against the Rams. And watch them lose now. Oh, gosh.
You're welcome.
But I think that's not as scary. Like, if we were to, which we probably did do this exercise before the year started, went through the whole Niners schedule, went through the whole Raiders schedule to see what we thought they were. But are the Ravens, are the Ravens as good as we thought they were going to be? Are the Bengals certainly aren't as good as we thought they were going to be? Like, there's wins. Is Philly as good as we expected them to be? Like, the Niners should be favored. And theoretically, if they're playing their best, should win all of those matchups.
I don't disagree with you, but if we're lining the two schedules up next to each other,
which team is better?
I think if they play their best, probably the 49ers, but...
Probably. Wow, I can't even believe you have to think about it.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Like, Philly's remaining schedule is brutal as well. Like... They have the Dolphins. They have the Cowboys. They play the Chiefs and the Bills, the 49ers. They play the Cowboys again, the Seahawks, and the Giants. I'm trying to sell it. I can't. I just can't do it. But the Dolphins, the Cowboys, they have the Cowboys twice. They have the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Niners, and the Seahawks. Like, they have a ridiculously hard schedule. I think they have the hardest remaining schedule either in the NFC or in the NFL, one of those two. So maybe the 49ers, like, if you're, I mean, I think it's probably safe to say at this point that they're the best team in the NFC. But even if you are the best team in the NFC, you could become a victim of your schedule. And right now, out of the three of those teams, Detroit has the most clear path to the number one seed, I think.
Yeah, it would look like it so far, but I think also their pieces are a little bit more inexperienced than San Francisco or Philly.
That's fine. But
so they're
up until
more
this
prone.
Point, they've played outstanding football.
What record do you think team has to get to have the number one seed? Probably 3 losses? 3 or 4 losses?
Probably 13-4.
To have the one seed?
Probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see Detroit losing 3 more games.
Yeah, but I could see the Eagles losing quite a few of those, and I could see the Niners possibly losing a few of those.
You can't see the Niners.
Well, I'm just saying that they have a tougher schedule. That's really all I'm trying to point out. Both of them have tougher schedules.
I think it's going to be all right.
Well, we'll find out.
That's an overreaction, Jason.
That's an overreaction.
Yep.
I don't want to do the Falcons one and benching Desmond Ridder because I don't think anybody watches the Falcons anyway. So here's one for you. The Bengals are about to go on a run. CBS, overreaction or reality? They say overreaction.
Whoa. Hey, they didn't play very well, but they certainly beat the Seahawks. And they're back to 3-3. They're one game behind in that division. I'm still holding out hope they're winning that division. I mean, they're going to lose against San Francisco in a couple weeks, but other than that.
I mean, the division didn't run away from them. The Ravens are sitting at 4-2. I mean, the Bengals are at the bottom right now of their division. It's just because they have 3 losses. Everybody else has 2. I mean, they're notorious for starting slow. I mean, that's been well documented over the past 2 years. Burrow's, you're going to assume, is going to be getting healthier throughout the year. His calf, hopefully, over the course of the year, is not going to be bothering him the same way it was at the very beginning. I'll take a peek at their schedule right now. Okay, so yeah, they have the 49ers and the Bills back-to-back, so that's not – their next 4 games, holy crap. Okay, so they have the 49ers, the Bills. They play the Texans, which is looking like that's never not going to be an easy out anymore.
Nope.
And then they get the Ravens. That's –
You well, got to go 2-2.
Whether or not they're going to win, yeah.
They got to find a way to split those games.
Yeah. Their hope of winning that division is going to lie, I think, in their record over these next 4 games. That's a brutal – oh, and here's the thing, too. So I'm looking at the schedule. They play the Texans, and then they play the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. So that's a short week against the Ravens in Baltimore.
Might honestly help them.
Maybe, but
muddy that game up. It might be a little closer.
So they have their bye this week.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get healthy. I don't know. It's the next 4 games. That's a brutal, and they still have the Chiefs and Jaguars on their schedule too.
Yeah, but just like I said, like Jacksonville, sure, has looked, they've won 3 in a row. Correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 2 London games and then this game.
Yeah.
So they're on a little bit of hot streak, but am I like so crystal clear sure that they're one of the best teams in the AFC? You can't really say that right now.
No.
Like this season has been so unpredictable. I think the margins that we believe are there are just a lot smaller
mm-hmm.
between these teams.
Yeah. We made an episode recently that I had titled The Good Teams Aren't Good and the Bad Teams Aren't Bad. The NFL this year so far, the only team really – I think I was going to go somewhere and I think that's probably taking a little
– Carolina's bad? Yeah, we can say that. Is that where you're going? I'll say it for us.
Well, I mean, the 49ers – up to this point had been the most dominant team by far. The Dolphins had been the standout offensively because they've put up 223 points so far through 6 games, which I'm looking at it right now, at least in the AFC.
But then again, who have they played? Like the one game that they had to show up for against Buffalo, they didn't. Right? So they still have question marks, in my opinion.
I guess that's fair because you're looking at the teams that they've played, the Chargers, who they're bad, the Patriots, they're bad, the Broncos, they're bad, they got waxed by the Bills, the Giants, they're bad, and Carolina, they're bad.
Yep.
So, well, they get the Eagles this week. So.
Oh, it's going to be such a good game.
Yeah. And, oh, that's Sunday night too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Sunday night. That's a great primetime game.
Is it in Philly?
It is in Philly.
Oh, I wonder if it'll be a little chilly.
That's going to be a fun game. That's going to be a fun game. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that, I mean, the 49ers lost this week. I still don't think that means they're not, that they don't have that, like, aura about them right now, that they're the most dominant team. But there hasn't been, so far to me this season, a team that's really jumped out, I guess, other than the 49ers through the first 5 games. Where you go, oh yeah, they're unequivocally the best team.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that if Miami goes out, either of those teams, whoever wins that Miami-Philly game, if it's convincing, I think will be the best team, considered the best team in the NFL.
Well, what about the Niners then?
Well, I mean, they're just playing Minnesota. Like, that's not an opportunity to really...
make a statement.
Have a statement when I think Minnesota's just all over the place. I think Minnesota's the team that everyone was bagging on to start this year, and they all got it right. I didn't see it personally because I was like, well, they just – like they won 12, 13 games last year,
mm-hmm.
and they really haven't lost that many guys. But they just look like a completely different team.
Yeah, they're not.
It's like there's dudes like dressing up for Halloween in their uniforms.
I know. That whole NFC North is just not impressive. Like Detroit could probably win 8 games and win that division.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Packers haven't really taken that step that everyone expected. And oh gosh, Chicago took a couple steps back. So,
yeah.
It's really bizarre.
Yeah. So, let me give you the last overreaction real quick, and this is why I wanted to save the Max Crosby stuff, because it's about the Raiders.
Okay.
And here was the overreaction. It said, the Raiders are a playoff team. Overreaction or reality? They say overreaction. So.
Oh, gosh.
I don't.
You can hear it. You can hear it right now. Jason's hopes are getting up right here. No. I can hear it. It's going.
No. No, look, I've said continually, I don't think the Raiders are good. The fact that they – listen to this. They have only scored 100 points. And they've given up 131, and yet somehow they're on a 2-game winning streak, and they're 3-3.
Hey, you know what? They're not running a charity. They're not giving away extra points. They're doing the bare minimum. They're like a C level student right now in PE. There's minimal effort given, just enough.
So they're
running that 9-minute mile pace right here.
They're going to Chicago next week. Or this week, I should say. Presumably.
Oh, I thought they were playing New York.
No, that's on November 5th.
Oh, my gosh.
So, presumably, they should win that game, hopefully. Justin Fields, I don't think, is going to be playing. They're having MRIs on his hand. I don't know if we know the results of that MRI
currently. I don't think it matters.
I'm not sure it matters either. Then they go on the road on a Monday night game to mm-hmm. Detroit. I think they lose that game by a quintillion.
No, I don't. It's going to be closer, man.
I don't think it's going to be closer. They play at home against the Giants. I would think that they could get that game.
Are we living in a reality where the Raiders have a top five defense?
I don't think they have a top five defense. They have a guy right now.
Have they ever had a top five defense in our lifetime?
They have a guy right now who's playing like he is the best defensive player in the league. It's insane. And I know you and I have joked, you know, back and forth about, you know, Max Crosby or Nick Bosa. And I'm sure you could pull stats for Nick that say he's better. And I know I could pull stats for Crosby that say he's better because I have them up in front of me. But I think more than anything, what I want to try to get from you is just an acknowledgement that this guy that we have is one of the absolute premier pass rushers in the league. I'll give you a stat, and this is not inclusive of this season. This was from May 12th, 2023. This was over the course of the past two NFL seasons. Crosby leads all pass rushers with 182 pressures. The next closest is 165, and that's Bosa. And through the season so far, Crosby has 22 solo tackles, 5.5 sacks. Nick's got 10 solo tackles, 2.5 sacks. I know that Bosa had that one season where he went – or the two seasons where he went absolutely crazy. He had 15.5 sacks, 18.5 sacks. He was a machine.
Mm-hmm.
But over the course of the career, the thing that has benefited Max is that he hasn't been injured and he doesn't come out. Like if you watch him play, he's not a defensive lineman who you pull out through first, you know, on first down and second down, and then bring him in for third down because you know it's a pass play. He's outstanding against the run. He has, over the course of his career, he has 266 total tackles, Knicks got 171, which you could make an argument that, you know, again, Nick missed a bunch of games. So the fact that he has that many, you could say, well, you know, on a per game basis is what, when I was talking to my dad about this earlier today, is the argument that I think if you're in favor of Nick, you're going to make, or not you, but somebody in favor of Nick would make, is that on a per game basis, Nick has been just as efficient, if not more efficient. And for me, the thing about Crosby that I just love so much is exactly what I was saying, is that he just doesn't come out. And he's not, and he never gets hurt so far. Knock on hardwood for that. But
oh my
he's
gosh.
In every single play. It's insane. Whether it's a run, whether it's a pass, if you just watch him for the entirety of the game, there's usually never a play that he's not involved in somehow. And the safety at the end of that game was amazing. But if you actually watch the previous play, had that play not have been blown dead, I can't remember if it was a flag or what had ended up happening, Crosby was going to kill Mac Jones. They ran a stunt that had Crosby coming up the middle unblocked, and he was just running right at Mac Jones at a full head of steam. I was like, he's going to kill him. Bree is sitting there right with me, and as soon as he comes through the middle, it's like, Mac's dead, and then they blow the play dead. I was like, okay, he got lucky. And then the next play, he just ends it for the – if there was ever a person to get a Raiders jersey for, it's that guy. He is single-handedly – I mean, I know you joked about Jimmy G sort of dragging this team along. Crosby right now is dragging this team along defensively because the plays that he is making everybody else play better. And the offense is doing, I guess, just enough to win the game. But, yeah, I mean, for the first time in my fantasy career, I picked up the Raiders defense during a week. And they served me well. They really have played significantly better. I know the Patriots are abysmal offensively. Mm-hmm. But the Raiders defense has played much better recently. And, I mean, I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they have a chance over the course of these next 4 weeks to be 5-5. The Lions and Jets game, the Jets, I don't know. Their defense is unreal. So I don't know who our quarterback's going to be in 4 weeks, but I pray for whoever it is. Their next 4 weeks, with the exclusion of the Lions and Jets, they have, I think they're better than the Bears. I think they're better than the Giants. But after those four weeks, they get the Dolphins and then they get the Chiefs. So that's why I'm saying I don't know if it matters, because they have to play the Chiefs twice.
Mm-hmm.
They play the Vikings, but they play the Vikings at home, so I think that that's okay. They play the Chargers at home. They might be able to get that. And then they play the Colts. I think realistically what you're looking at minimum is like a 7-8 win season, which I don't think is going to be enough, but it's certainly better than what I thought they were going to be.
Well, I mean, I thought I gave Max Crosby his flowers last week. I'm pretty sure I acknowledged he was a really good player.
So I don't want flowers. I want like,
oh, because they'll make you sneeze.
Yeah, something better. I have terrible allergies. Yeah, I know. Something I'm better sorry. Than flowers. I need.
What do you need?
I need chocolate milk.
If the season were to end today, Max Crosby would be defensive player of the year. Oh, wait. Khalil Mack might be. Sorry.
Khalil Mack had one good game.
He's got like 7.5 sacks already.
Yeah, and he had 6 in one game.
Against.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? Max Crosby is playing out of his mind. I think in a 3-down basis, well, first off, Nick Bosa is not playing as well. I think that holdout really affected him. Either that or teams are just really focusing. And not to say that teams aren't focusing on Max Crosby, but I think there's just a lot of things that teams are doing to Bosa with the chips and a lot of attention being put on him that I think is kind of diminishing his production, but he's not playing as well for sure. He just doesn't look like he's impacting the game as much. He's coming up. He came up big with a big sack in last week's game, but he's just not that same guy right now. Crosby right now is playing better than Nick Bosa.
That's what I needed to hear.
Okay.
See, I'm good with that.
I'm objective. Don't worry.
I'm good with that.
So we talk about, I mean, the Raiders are going to beat the Bears. Let's not even worry about it. They go to Detroit on Monday night. They're 7.5-point dogs in that game. Honestly, might be more if Detroit is 6-1, right? Mm-hmm. I think that'll kind of motivate a little bit more. But can they cover that game? I think they can. I don't think they're going to lose by a touchdown against Detroit.
I do.
Their defense is too good.
It's not the defense that our offense can't score. I don't know what the problem is. I really don't know.
Well,
I don't
it's McDaniels. Know it's, we know what the problem is.
It might be, but I've watched every single snap of this team this entire season. There's no reason why Brian Hoyer should come in and look better than Jimmy G in his 10 pass plays. Jimmy G had 161 yards through the course of the entire game. Brian Hoyer had 6 completions and threw for 100 yards. He came in and he looked great. The offense was moving. He drove them right down the field, and they scored.
Why isn't Devontae getting the ball?
Devontae was leading the NFL in catches, I think, heading into this week.
Still? And, wow.
Yeah, still. So he didn't have an outstanding game, per se, this past week. I saw one of the analysts had sort of drawn up and shown a couple examples of how he was getting other people open just by the routes that he was running. So I'm not sure what's going on with Devontae. I don't think it's him. I think it's more of, again, I think it's more of the offense, and it's probably more of Jimmy and who he's comfortable with. One mm-hmm. thing I will say is Michael Mayer, our tight end, our rookie, he finally got involved, and it looked like that was the game plan going in, because it was like the first like 10 plays, 3 of them went to him, and every time he got the ball, he just looked like a freight train when he was running. He was so much fun to watch. I was so happy that they were getting him the ball, because I really think he could be an outstanding addition to the offense. Josh played pretty well. That was nice to see. They gave him the ball 25 times, which I think he needs to be touching the ball at least 20 times for the Raiders to do anything. It's going to be really interesting, because O'Connell for sure is going to start next week. And without Justin Fields, that should be a game that they win. It really should be. And then you're sitting at 4-3. You go to Detroit on a 3-game win streak and you're feeling good. I don't know. Maybe. But I really don't think they win that game. It's the Giants game that you got to try to win, and then maybe you could steal one against the Jets. Maybe you could. Maybe Crosby can get after Zach Wilson. I don't know, but
steal? Oh, they should be favored against the Jets.
Jets right now are the one team in the league, I would say, that is they're the toughest to read, because nobody would have blamed them for losing to the Bills Week 1, the game that they lose Aaron Rodgers. They win that game. Then they get obliterated by the Cowboys. Then they lose to the Patriots. But then Zach Wilson plays the game of his life. They almost beat the Chiefs. Then they go out and beat the Eagles. I have no read on the Jets. None.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're going off of the progress that Rodgers is making, he's going to be coming back in a month.
Not in a month, but I had heard that week 15 or 16, somebody had reported, was a possibility, which is just insane.
Yeah, he'd be shot. I mean, I'd be so scared of him re-injuring something.
I would too.
Like someone just landing on him.
If they're not in the playoff race, he should not come back. They should absolutely, under no circumstance, if they are not vying for a playoff, like a realistic playoff position. And I don't even want to hear, oh, you know what, if the Jets win this game and 6 other teams lose or tie, no. If it's not a realistic possibility, don't bring it back. There's no reason to. You got all of next season. It's so unfortunate what happened at the beginning of the season. But if you're not still in it, then just do not bring him back.
But that defense is so good.
I know they're so good, but if they're not in it,
are they not primed? Would they? I heard a lot of people were saying because they're 3-3 now after a really tough start. I think they would be at the very least 4-2. Could very well have easily been 5-1.
They with might, Rodgers. If Rodgers did to the offense what everybody assumed that he was going to do, they would probably be the best team in the AFC because they have the best defense. Well, the Browns might have an argument with that, but
their defense is playing well.
Yeah, their defense is outstanding. Their offense would obviously look better with Rodgers. They might be the best team in the AFC if Rodgers was there. Now, you realistically can't say that because none of us got to see what the offense looked like with Rodgers. So it's really tough to make that claim. But I'm assuming that he would be playing probably significantly better than Zach Wilson is now, which means the offense would be chugging along a little bit more efficiently. So at the very minimum, like you said, that gives him at least one more win, maybe two. I don't know.
At the very least, they beat the Patriots.
Yes.
Which that loss is looking worse and worse every single day.
Oh, man. Okay, so here's one thing that I wanted to bring up, and I meant to bring this up earlier about the Patriots.
Uh-oh.
So I don't want to phrase this as something that I think is realistically possible, because I don't think that this is actually going to happen. But this is just a fun sort of exercise to think about for a second. So Mark Davis seems to have a fascination with the New England Patriots. Our quarterback is from New England.
Mm-hmm.
Our GM is from New England.
Mm-hmm.
Our head coach is from New England.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our defensive coordinator is from New England.
Anyone else? Head of strength?
I'm not sure.
Strength and conditioning?
Probably.
Scouting? Probably.
Probably. We have a lot of Patriots on the team.
X. Former.
Yes. Let's assume that the end of this season, Bill Belichick is no longer coaching for the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
How realistic do you think – how long does it take Mark Davis to consider calling Bill Belichick?
Oh, as soon as it breaks.
Because here's the thing. I don't think that Josh McDaniels is going to survive into next season. I don't know if Bill Belichick is going to survive.
Does he have a terminal illness?
You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Man, he got some bad news from the doctor.
Let's say that they both – like, I could see a world where Mark Davis goes, hey, Bill, all of your friends are over here. All of your friends are over here.
Yeah, you remember Joe, Bob, they're
and
all
you know
here.
What? And you know what? Tom Brady's a partial owner of the team, too.
You could even suit up, maybe.
So come on over to Vegas, and then he could turn to McDaniels and go, you know what? Things didn't work out, pal, but you're an outstanding offensive coordinator. Let's run it back. Oh. And then just repeat, keep McDaniels on staff, but keep him as the OC. Look, I don't think
that it's going to – why would you want to do that?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think they would. But I guess – the train of thought that I'm just trying to follow here is that there are a lot of ex-New England Patriots in Vegas, and I'm assuming that there's going to be a vacancy at head coach at the end of the season. I don't know how realistic it is that Belichick would wind up on the Raiders, but if you're picking places that maybe he'd be comfortable with, there's a lot of people on our staff that he knows. Now, I don't want that to happen. I don't think I would want him as our coach, but does that seem unrealistic? It doesn't feel that crazy to me.
I'd love to see Bill somewhere else, whether that's Vegas or I think even more of like a desirable situation would be with the Chargers with Herbert.
This team that I heard on ESPN this week was Washington.
Ugh.
And mainly because new ownership, the thinking is that Ron Rivera is probably going to be gone by the end of the season. You have new ownership who's trying to build a new stadium. You bring in, you know, sort of a splashy hire with Bill Belichick, and you
the oldest coach in the NFL. Oh, this is a splash. This is a sexy pickup.
Well, dude, he's the most accomplished head coach in NFL history. So
no, yeah, he is.
I mean, I don't know what more of a splash you could get. Now, the past couple seasons, his team hasn't been great, but I mean, in terms of name value, he's Bill Belichick's not going to do anything from a marketing standpoint on his own. He's not going to be like out there selling tickets for you. But
well, I mean, all you need is a picture of him in anyone else's gear,
right?
And you got it. That's the still right there,
right?
For the Raiders, though, you guys should go and get like Cleveland's DC or Miami's OC. Like, you guys just need a fresh start.
Yeah, I think we need a new coach. Look, I don't think McDaniels is going to make it through the end of the season. I just don't think it's working out. Last season, it didn't work. This season doesn't feel like it's getting any better. I don't think he was going to survive the season unless they made the playoffs,
which they're going to,
which they're not. He's so bad post game. Listening to him in the locker room giving speeches, that he couldn't motivate me to eat a sandwich.
Okay.
Like, I don't think he's a bad dude or anything, but no. I just think we need a new head coach. And some of the play calls this year have been really, really, really interesting, like questionable. And again, who am I to really say? I'm just a fan, and I only played for a few seasons, but I don't know. Having watched football literally my entire life, there are plenty of things that as a fan, I'm just sitting back and going, I don't know if that's what regular or other coaches would be doing in this situation. Saying regular is not the right word, but I don't think he's going to make it through the season. I really don't. But either way, we spent a lot of time on the Raiders. We can move on now.
Please.
Because they're not all that exciting. They're probably the definition of mediocrity. And truthfully, I've been living below mediocrity in my picks, because let me read you how many picks I got right this weekend. Okay, that was it. That was my list. I didn't get any of them right.
Nope.
I went 0-5. 0-5. So feeling
oops
some kind of way heading into week 6. So you're up 4-1. So let me just write that on my sheet. So you have a comfortable lead.
So how many? I got to win 10 weeks. So I got to win 6 more.
Yeah.
To officially just put you out of your misery. I mean, you're just struggling this week.
Make a comeback, but I've dug myself a pretty big hole. So let's try to work our way out of it.
What's more likely, you coming back in picks or like the Vikings winning their division?
Oh, me coming back. 100%.
Because I feel like 100%. That's sort of the situation we're in here.
If you're putting all your chips on somebody, put them on me, not Kirk Cousins. So let's do this. Wow. Jaguars, Saints. Saints are at home.
Yeah, give me the Jags.
I agree. Buccaneers at home against the Falcons. I'll take the Buccaneers. So you're pondering. I thought you'd have an answer quickly.
I don't like the Buccaneers.
I don't either, but the Falcons have stunk.
I'm going to go with the Falcons. I think I've picked the Falcons 5 out of the 6 weeks.
Yeah, they've become your Dolphins or your Chargers from a few seasons ago.
Yeah, you remember the Chargers. I had the Marcus Mariota Titans a couple years ago that I probably picked 16 out of the 17 weeks for no reason.
You just talk to yourself, oh man, I think they could sneak this
one. I like the Titans. I like the QBs. Go Dice. Yeah.
Bears, Raiders.
The Raiders.
Browns, Colts.
That's a tough one.
Anthony Richardson is out for the rest of the season.
I thought it was just probable.
The report that I saw was that he was likely to be out the rest of the season.
He hasn't had the season. Well, it does. I mean, he's probably not going to play in this game. Give me the Colts.
That's crazy because
I know it doesn't make sense. Don't even think about it, man.
I know. That's crazy that you would say that.
It's like we're playing poker right now and you're like, holy, what? He just went all in.
That's crazy on that one.
On this hand?
I don't feel good about it, but I'll take the Browns just because I think their defensive unit is better than any of the units on the field that day. So,
okay.
I'll take the Browns.
JT's got a big unit.
Yeah, okay. Commanders, Giants. That's that's terrible. I mean, the Giants looked okay.
I mean, they did. They should have won that game.
Yeah. They didn't do anything amazing, but they kept the Bills. they made the Bills look mediocre.
Oh, they made the Bills
really look hard to do.
Terrible. I'll take the Commanders.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I still think the Commanders are a decent team. They're not that exciting, but they're not awful.
Hey, Sam Howell's played pretty well the last.
Yeah, he has. So yeah, I'll take the Commanders. Lions, Ravens. That might be that's tough. What's a better game, Dolphins, Eagles, or Lions, Ravens? Probably Dolphins, Eagles, but that's a close second.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins-Eagles is more highly anticipated, but Ravens-Lions might turn out to be the best game.
You mean the Lions?
Yeah, I was going to say Lions are 3-point underdogs on the road, but I feel better about them.
Which means they feel – I mean, which means that the team's the odds sort of say that they're even because you just give the home team 3 points, so –
I guess the story now is it used to be 3 points and now it's like 1.5 for the home team.
The Lions are a better team.
I agree. That's why I'd pick them.
Yeah. Bills, Patriots. The Bills by a lot. Seahawks over the Cardinals. I'll take that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd take the Hawks.
So we have a Rams Steelers game.
That's a tough one.
I think I'm inclined to take the Rams.
Yeah?
It's kind of the way I'm leaning. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go with the Rams.
I'll take the Steelers.
The Rams. Come on, Matty Stafford.
A lot of tight spreads this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at a lot of these games, and it feels like, again, as we're picking them, there's not a game where it's like, oh, like last week, like, oh, it's Dolphins, Carolina. Like, that feels like a pretty overtly obvious pick. A lot of these teams so far, I mean, the Bills, Patriots one, so far, I think that's been the one where you go, that's the biggest discrepancy between teams. But up until this point, because even the Cardinals Seahawks game, like that's a divisional game that could be close. I don't know. Chiefs Chargers, take the Chiefs at home.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs as well.
Broncos Patriots. I mean, sorry, Broncos Packers. Sorry, Broncos are at home.
I would take the Packers.
Yeah, I agree. Because the Broncos are a dumpster fire. Dolphins, Eagles. Eagles at home. Sunday night game.
I feel like this is if the Eagles are who we think they are, this is going to come out and be a huge statement win for them. Because no one's talking about them doing anything, and the Dolphins have all this praise.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to take the Dolphins on the road.
The Dolphins have looked spectacular. The Eagles have looked unspectacular, and they both have the same record. what's the spread on that game?
Two. Dolphins are underdogs.
Two. Wow.
What an awesome game. At least, because I feel like a lot of these primetime games.
We were owed this game.
Yes, I agree. Well, last week, Broncos-Chiefs. Ugh. And then the Giants-Bills.
Ugh.
And that Cowboys-Chargers game on paper sounded nice, but it wasn't. The Packers-Raiders game the week beforehand was close, but that's not really anything. The 49ers destroyed the Cowboys. And then the Bears-Commanders was the primetime game that week. This game is, yeah, we have definitely been owed this game. I want to take the Eagles, but I'm going to take the Dolphins.
Wow.
If we have to flip on a game, then I could flip and go Eagles, but
I don't think we're going to have to flip on one.
Yeah. 49ers, Vikings. I think we'll both take the 49ers on that one, which means we're at three games. Now, okay. Each week we've been going to five. We don't have to go to five.
I know. We don't have to. I know.
It feels to me that if we were going to switch on a game, then one of us would need to switch on the Lions Ravens, and one of us would need to switch on Dolphins Eagles.
That's true.
Because I don't feel like any of the other games have any obvious reason to switch. So is there a game that you feel particularly better about? If not, then I'll make my choice.
Jason, you're going to hate me.
Okay.
I'm going to take the New York Giants.
You're going to take the New York Giants. Okay.
Gun to my head.
On the list of options.
I'm going to take them.
That was not what I was expecting.
Uh-huh. You know, I just like thinking outside the box this year.
Okay. Well, it's worked for you. All right. Well, then I'll flip
on one. Give me the Ravens.
Well, I was gonna say I can flip on one.
Well, I beat you to it.
Okay. What if I flipped on two? What if I went Eagles and then I picked the Steelers?
I mean that would work. I picked the Steelers, but that would work.
Oh, you picked the Steelers. Damn it. Okay, well then there's not an obvious one to me. I mean I could pick the Saints.
Yeah.
But I don't like that.
Saints. Oh, you love the Saints. The Saints are your team this year. That you're like, I like the Saints.
I think I pick them every single week. Man, but Jaguars have played so much better recently. They played so much better. They played the Falcons. They beat the Bills. They destroyed the Colts. They're coming in with a lot of momentum. The Saints are just not coming in with any momentum.
I don't get why Chicago is only 3-point underdogs against the Raiders.
Because the Raiders are the definition QB? Of average.
The backup QB?
Well, for both teams, technically.
Yeah, but I don't even know who the Bears QB is.
I know. Yeah, 3 points is... Well, I mean... The Bears are at home, so if the Raiders were at home, obviously that'd be bigger. But all right, well, we got five games, so we'll stick with that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because I mean, other than the Eagles Dolphins one, I don't see an obvious one that I would wanna jump on.
Well, I don't want to force your hand.
Yeah, I know. You just know though that Thursday night game is gonna be ugly, because I mean every Thursday night game so far, I'm going through the list. The only memorable one that I can think of off the top of my head was week one, because that was the Chiefs Lions one. The Vikings Eagles played week two, and that was 34-28, sorry. So that was a relatively close game, but everything else on Thursday night has not been close. So you just know that game's going to be not fun.
You're going to hate me.
Dude, don't switch.
I'm going to take the Broncos at home.
Why? You don't need to be doing this.
But I want to.
I mean, I know you have room to to sort of play with.
I feel like you're gonna like set up an intervention for me.
Sam,
we love you. All your loved ones are here. You don't need to be taking the Broncos, Giants, Falcons, Colts, Steelers. I think I'm taking all the worst offenses in the NFL. All
right, well then I'll take the Eagles.
Perfect.
As if like that's a hard thing to do, but
do you feel good about this?
Well, I mean, if you win, I'm gonna be shocked just because. Again, I think you're picking the worst offenses. You didn't have to switch, and just to pull out a win that way will be miraculous.
I think the only team that I'm picking that is favored to win is the Ravens.
Well, there you have it.
I know something that most people don't.
Well, you're 4-1 so far, so you at least so far have known stuff that I haven't. So, one of the last things that we got to do before we wrap up this show is at least give a little bit of a preview to what I'm assuming, or hopefully we can get in before the end of the week, which is just an All Kings quick NBA episode, because the season starts this weekend.
Yeah, what day? Saturday?
I don't know when everybody else plays. I don't give a damn when anybody else plays.
I didn't ask about everyone else. I asked about the Sacramento Kings.
Well, the Sacramento Kings, they play on Sunday. Their first game. Their first home game. Oh, no. Uh-oh. I got it backwards. I think I got it backwards. I do have it backwards. The Kings' first home game is next Wednesday. That's what it is. It's against the Jazz. I knew they were playing the Jazz.
Wait, aren't they on the road?
They are on the road. Their first home game is Friday. They play the Lakers. Yeah. I feel like
you're just giving me misinformation here.
Yeah, I was. The game that I had circled in my head was a game on Sunday. It's the following Sunday, and it's against the Lakers. That was the one. Yeah. That was the reason I was thinking of Sunday. Because I can't wait for that game. But they open up the season with the Jazz, Warriors, Lakers, and then Warriors again. So it was really that Lakers game was the one that stuck out to me on a Sunday, because that was just partially because I was going to see if I can maybe make it to that game. But
the Sunday one?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see what tickets are. They're probably pretty pricey.
So that's why I had Sunday on the brain. But
were you thinking about inviting me?
Of course. Come on. Let's get this. But I was going to save that for the show. But But either way. So Kings, Jazz, Wednesday, October 25th. Then they play the Warriors the following Friday, then Sunday, and then they get the Warriors again on November 1st. So I was looking at the beginning of their schedule. And having the Warriors twice and the Lakers once to start off is a bit rough, but then they get back-to-back games against the Rockets. Then they play the Trailblazers, Thunder, Cavaliers, Lakers again. Then they get the Spurs.
Whoa.
I don't know how to feel about the beginning of their season.
We can just go watch in like a bar or someone's house. I don't know if I'm crazy pay
tickets.
$72 is the cheapest.
That's not horrible. I actually thought it'd be worse.
Oh, that's not horrible?
I thought it'd be worse. That's
pretty stinking bad. Let's see what the Warriors won.
I thought it'd be like over 100.
Yeah, Warriors are over 100.
Yeah, okay. See, that's what I was expecting.
It's the Lakers just don't have that pull.
Yeah. Well, that's something obviously we can discuss later, but how you feeling?
I feel good, man. I was listening to a NBA forecasting. They're going over unders for the season. I think we've talked about. I believe the Kings will get close to that 48 mark that they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see why. You know what the big thing for me is? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are overvaluing how much these teams are actually going to care about the regular season. I think the Kings have shown and will continue to show that they extremely care about the regular season. Like they a team do. Like the Lakers or Phoenix, do they really care about the regular season night to night? They want to make the playoffs, sure, but their aspirations and sights are set a lot farther than, oh my gosh, we got to win this game in Sacramento on a Wednesday in October or whatever, in November. No, they're not going to care. Like, if LeBron's injured, he's going to sit. If Anthony Davis, I know he came out and he's like, I want to play all 82 games. But is that going to happen? I don't know. Like, I don't think they necessarily care night to night.
Well, apparently, The Athletic predicts that the Kings will fall to the 11th seed.
Whoa, what?
In the Western Conference this season, and predicts a 39-43 record.
Whoa, that is the most pessimistic view I've heard.
I'm reading it right now from SI.com.
What was their rationale?
The Athletic predicts the Kings will fall to the 11th seed in the Western Conference, have the blah, 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 predict, blah, 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 blah. Predicting a team to have a 9-win decrease from the year before by speculated injuries is questionable argument by Hollinger. While the team was fortunate with injuries last season, with Sabonis and injuries, lazy. I guess. Yeah, lazy. That's lazy.
Super lazy. Oh, yeah. I think they're going to their stars are going to miss more games this year. Cool. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so and there's another article that I'm reading right here. I was reading it until my computer fuzzed out. Okay, now we're back. Okay, so this is predicting how. Okay, so this is actually from The Athletic. Mm-hmm. This is predicting how the final. Okay, so this is who's going to finish. Okay, so they have San Antonio 14th. And this is from The Athletic. They have Portland 15th, San Antonio 14th, Houston 13th. And then Utah 12, and then, Kings 11. So they have Oklahoma finishing 10th above them, New Orleans at 9.
Whoa.
Dallas at 8. Okay, well.
I'm sorry, we can't sit here and talk about health and put New Orleans ahead of Sacramento. And Dallas, so we're really thinking that Kyrie Luka is going to work. A full 82 games.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
And that's not even health. I mean, that's just like.
So I'm going to try to see. I'm going to pull up a Powell rankings right here. I'm going to just go to a different website and see where we have. So the Ringer right now has the Kings as the 13th best team in the NBA. That's interesting. So NBA.com, this is from August 7th. Where do they have the Kings this week? They have the Kings at 6.
In the West?
Yeah. Okay. NBA offseason power rankings. August 7th, 2023. No, they have the Kings 6th total.
Oh. That's what I like to see.
No. No, they do have them 6th in the West. Okay, that's more that makes more sense. I was going to say, so they didn't split. What? Okay, so this article is not clear. They didn't split the Eastern. I guess they have two separate articles for the East and West. Okay, they have us at 6th. The teams they have above us are the Clippers,
us,
Golden State, us, Lakers, Phoenix, and Denver. I think that's fair. I don't think at this point you could put Memphis ahead of the Kings. I feel fine putting the Warriors. I mean, they beat the Kings last year.
No. In the regular season, the Warriors are not going to finish higher than the Kings in the regular season.
You don't think so?
I don't believe so. With that janky lineup with Chris Paul in, how does that work?
I'm going to be really interested to see how that shakes out because I've said numerous times he has to come off the bench.
And we're going
to
get a front row seat to it. I know. How crazy is it that the Warriors Kings are going to have two meetings done within the first week
I know.
of the season?
I know. Well, we need to get Ben on to talk about this. We have a little more time than I thought. I had the wrong Sunday circled inside on my calendar. Either way, we got to get Ben on before next Wednesday because we have to do a full Kings episode and sort of kind of get a prediction of what we think is going to happen. We should honestly try to get Josh on that show as well and see if we can get just a full NBA sort of preview from him.
Yeah.
So we can try to orchestrate that. Either way, I mean, from a show perspective, I mean, we're heading into the best time of the year. We'll have a plethora of content to talk about, and we'll probably just be doing exactly what we were doing every time we get to this year, is we'll split the show, half football, half basketball. And I think with the Kings being, you know, the pleasant surprise of last season, hopefully we'll be able to talk about them late into the season this year as well.
It's crazy that there's so much to talk about, but we'll still fail to be entertaining.
That's true. I don't know how we've made it this far. We actually just I was looking at our statistics recently, and we just crossed 7,000 plays for the show. So that's nice, little milestone.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, for a show that has no advertising, I think we're doing okay. So
we have a couple loyal listeners.
Yeah, exactly. thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. It's always fun to take time out of the week to just chat about sports and why Max Crosby is better than Nick Bosa. Anyway, have a wonderful week. Enjoy the football. Basketball is coming up. If you're watching the baseball, enjoy the baseball. And we will see you all very soon.
See ya.